Hey, all you listeners, before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to take care of a couple legal issues and a little forbearance of what you're about to listen to. Some podcasts are somewhat explicit and touch on some harsh topics when it comes to the mental health field. Listener discretion is advised. Also, for the legal purposes and the protection of our show and guests, we'd like to also remind you that all these stories that are shared by everyone on air are alleged events that have occurred. Please keep that in mind. And again, we enjoy having you here. So welcome and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to Spread Hope Like Fire. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Crystal Davis, a board member and a co-host of the podcast and our foundation. I'm stepping in today for Anthony as this is a little different of an episode. We're going to hear from Anthony about some of his mental health struggles that he has been facing. If you are new here, hit that like and subscribe button. It helps the algorithm. Be sure to catch up on previous episodes of our podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, Stitcher, Spotify, and all your other major podcast carriers. This episode is close to my heart as I am currently dealing with the recent loss of my amazing grandfather, Hermie Aquino Dazon Sr. Hermie Aquino Dazon Sr. of Las Vegas, Nevada, passed away Tuesday, October 19, 2021 at the age of 79. Hermie was a recipient of a kidney transplant in 1998, and with brave determination and modern medicine, he sustained the transplant for over 20 years. In January 2021, he was diagnosed with cancer of the liver and ultimately succumbed to pneumonia, complicated by his pre-existing conditions, and passed away. Hermie was born in the Philippines on May 26, 1942. At the young age of 7, he obtained his first job as a farmhand, tending to livestock, and consequently was unable to complete his elementary education. At the age of 21, Hermie met Leticia Carras, the woman he would marry and spend his life with. Leticia worked as a housekeeper and Hermie as a landscaper. They married on February 18, 1963 and had 4 beautiful children. Hermie's unconditional love, unwavering dedication to family, and strong work ethic was clearly demonstrated as he worked in Saudi Arabia year-round as an electrician to provide for his family and guarantee a private school education for his children. In 1984, after many years of working away from his family, and along with his pledge to secure a better future for his family, Hermie, his wife, and 3 of their 4 children immigrated to the U.S. After years of petitioning immigration services, in 2005, Hermie successfully brought his remaining daughter and 4 grandchildren to the U.S. My grandpa was known for his ingenuity and impeccable work ethic, which was motivated by the love of his family. Hermie will be remembered as a committed husband to his darling wife of 58 years, Leticia Dazon, for his devotion to his children, whom he instilled strong values in, for securing prosperous and solid foundations for future generations to come. He is survived by many of us, too many for me to list right here, but we all love and miss him so much. As long as we live, they too will live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them.
This is Spread Hope Like Fire. I'm your host, Anthony Garcia, marriage and family therapist. But tonight, I want to be the therapist right now. I don't want to be that expert. The reason that the podcast opened up a little bumpy is because I've been sitting here trying to figure out how to start this podcast, this episode. My anxiety is very much off the charts. I've been trying to keep things together. I've been trying to push forward, and to me that sounds very much so callous. So tonight, I guess what I'm saying is I'm needing to be client. I'm needing to be the client. The person that I guess needs to talk. And It's, I feel, at the appropriate time. When I get this thing uploaded, it'll have been the appropriate time. So for now, this is a time capsule in its rawest form, because it's going to be a hard talk. I reference this to my previous episode, Grief Bites, where I share my perspective on grief. If loss has not affected you, that is one of the most, well, at least for me, what I feel is one of the most biggest blessings one can be granted. I remember one point in my life where all I did was worry about loss of almost everybody in my life. By death, like death, like dying, that kind of loss, where I don't have the option to talk to him anymore. This podcast episode is more so a continuation of Grief Bites, because it does, and I'm going to reference something that brings me back to some sort of balance in life for just the moment. And it's Michael Scott from The Office. His quote is, he says, "There is such a thing as good grief. Just ask Charlie Brown." That's one of my comforts. With PTSD and loss, that's one of the hardest things for me to deal with. I feel all out of balance. I don't have any control. My mind jumps. That's so right now you're hearing me in a moment of my weakest with my PTSD. It's, I guess, how it works. You're hearing how my mind is not, when you don't employ your coping mechanisms, and that is, I'm going to get into that in a minute, but I'm struggling with staying in the present, the here and the now, because of my PTSD and the sense of loss. One of the greater things that I discussed this with my therapist, and she agrees, this is one of the greatest gifts that I do have, is I can compartmentalize my life and my work and other aspects. I find great joy in healing other people, and that has gotten me through the loss of Missy. That loss right there was very hard, and it affected me so much, so I could not talk about her anymore. I was having panic attacks, and so finally I jumped in and got into EMDR therapy, and that's tremendously improved things for me. But there's still a sense of loss in me, and I'm struggling right now with that, because I absolutely love this person, and they mean the absolute world to me, and I'm losing them. The sad part is reality hits, and it hits really hard when you think about it. With the pandemic, me and Shirelli had to move our wedding back. Because of that, my loss is not just going to be now. I'm going to be affected later on. My thoughts will be, they won't be there. They won't experience my wedding. They won't meet my kids. It will be somebody I talk about. And I know what that feels like. My mom and my aunts talk about their mom, my grandma. But I don't remember her, because I was so little when she passed away. And I know what that means now. That thought process for me really is a struggle to get over. And it makes you bend to your knees. The emotion attached to this is what so many people like me And probably like you, we don't want to go through that because losing that control and the love, there's people have asked me, like, as a therapist, hey, Tony, what do you say to someone that's grieving? And I say this, you say nothing, you just be there and you listen. That's it. Because there's nothing anybody can tell a person that is going through this. You can't tell them anything that's gonna fix it or change it, or they're gonna have this awe-inspiring moment. It doesn't work that way. It's been hard. It's been hard since this pandemic started. You had the sense of like you want a perspective. Here's a perspective as just me, with a person with PTSD. The pandemic ramped everything up for me. I was diagnosed right before pandemic, and then pandemic hit, and as I realized I had PTSD, with having all the fear and hypervigilance and all of everything that goes with it, I was trying to relearn life, and then life took over once again. It came knocking on the door, and I feel still that the COVID is still knocking on my door, and I don't feel that I would survive that. I don't feel like I'd survive that shit. I'm gonna be honest. I just don't feel like if I got it, I would survive. My struggle is you try to your hardest to rely on your faith. Spirituality is a lot. It's connected hand in hand with psychology, with mental health. Native Americans had it right. Mind, body, spirit, and soul. If you have one of those missing, your life is not in balance. And so, that's a struggle, relying on your faith, but then struggling as a human being who is just broken. So, where do you go when the world just rapidly changes? Every day it's something new. At one point, I was so scared again with the COVID that I wasn't going out. I didn't want anybody in the house going out either, and life shifts again. And then it shifts again. And then you're trying to still recuperate from the third or fourth shift prior to this shift. It's just you're so still. It's hard to adjust, and it's been a hard adjustment with this. The few times I have gone out, I had some crazy incidents happen, and I was just like, "What the heck's going? What happened to the world? What happened? Where was the compassion?" Now I go back and I say, "Listen to the podcast when I said about my legacy, and listen." I was saying and talking about what it was like to experience life as pandemic just hit us, as lockdowns were just going into effect, how joyous we were, how happy, how much compassion we showed for each other. I'm still there, adjusting to that moment. Well, we're still here in present time, adjusting to all of the polar shifting that's going on. I needed to take care of myself. I turned to my therapist and I needed coping skills. I needed some sort of way out of this. And that's where I get to with all of this loss and everything that's going on. My coping skill, one of them, is my compassion. That's what helps me because I find the comfort and solace when I am at work with clients. I'm blessed to have this type of job because it's not a job to me. I work with people that tell me my story back to me. Like I've always said on the podcast, it's a trip to hear your story still being told. It's like this urban legend that won't die. It's heartbreaking to hear, but I find comfort when I do see clients that come in to therapy seeking the help, because here's what I take it for. When I went through, and I'm still going through the process, you gotta know and understand this process is whole. It can take some time. It can take so much time. It's been 10 years, a little over 10 years, over 10 years since I started treatment with therapy. I hit it hard and then I off and on, and now I'm back at it because I'm just needing it really much so right now. That's how therapy does work. You don't have to rely on it. When you do feel better, you start using your coping skills, and then you are able to be self-sufficient and know that you got this. And it's a long journey, and here we are. I'm still learning how to put these coping skills together. I'm still finding it hard to talk openly about these struggles that most of us face. If you haven't faced it, cherish every day with every person you have, because when the time comes, the pain that is attached to a loss is something that I can't describe. And you'll never understand until you experience it. With my work in treatment, I have discovered that my coping skills is work, and it has to be a healthy balance of me helping clients and getting that connection that helps me sustain my mental stability. And then I have to incorporate my other coping skills, my grounding skills. I have to ground myself, and if you don't know what a grounding skill is, I can teach you really quickly. Just an overview, but I do suggest getting on get on like YouTube and type in TED Talks grounding exercises. I really like TED Talks. What you do is, because your mind is so rapidly racing and it's triggering you with all of your emotions. When PTSD hits, it's like an attack, like in a panic attack type of way. You get into this hypervigilance mode where you're waiting for something terrible to happen, and you're just scared and terrified, and you just are waiting there for something to happen. I don't know how to describe it. It's the thing you have to, I guess you have to know, you have to have it and experience it to know what I'm talking about. So with the grounding exercise, what you do is, when you are having a panic or attack or an anxiety attack, or with your triggered or your PTSD, you have to start to concentrate on something. And so, since we're so out of control with our emotions, we have to concentrate within something that we know that we can, to a degree, have a control over, or try to gain control over. So the first attempt we want to do is start to breathe in through your nose. So you want to focus your thoughts and everything towards your breathing. So if you want to notice, how am I breathing? Is it rapid, shallow, or slow? Am I holding my breath? You determine that, at least try to. If you can't try to do that, then what you want to do is at least try to start focusing on the breathing, to where you're breathing in at a slow and steady pace through your nose and breathing in the air. And then when you fill your lungs, what you do is you hold it for 2 seconds, and then you slowly release through your mouth. You want to do this for about 3 to 4 to maybe 5 sets, until you feel that your mind has kind of slowed down, like you're kind of pumping the brakes. And then what you want to do is start to focus on something outside of your body. I do recommend that if you are doing this, sit down in the area in which you are at. If it's safe, make sure that it's a safe area. And you want to make sure that you're also not doing this while driving, or any of that. Again, this is not professional medical advice, is what I'm going to say. I'm just giving you the coping skills in which help me. It doesn't mean it's going to help you. So you want to focus outside of your body. And so, say you're sitting in a park. And so you sit down on the grass. And so you concentrate, you're focusing on your breathing, then you focus outside of your body. There's a pine cone. Oh, there is a pine cone. What color is the pine cone? How does the pine cone look? Is it small, medium, large? Is it damaged? Is it beautiful? Then you want to kind of turn your attention towards something else. So then you can say, oh, there's a duck over there in the pond. And then you do the same thing. What color is the duck? What is the duck doing? Is it swimming? Is it bathing? Is it standing up on the shore? Is it small? Is it big? Is it mean? And then what you want to do as you start to ground yourself some more is you want to come back into self and focus on what it feels like to be sitting or standing where you're at. Your feet are either planted firmly and your body is seated firmly on the ground. What is the temperature outside? How does that feel on your, is there air? Is there like a breeze on your, you want to start to notice your body temperature. You want to kind of notice, how am I breathing? And this all starts to slow the mind down, because what has happened with these attacks are your mind just starts going full blast. So it's like fucking Scarface on all that coke. Boom. And it's like, say hello to my little friend. That's how it works. And so, another way that in which I find comfort and is another coping skill and support for me is this. I'm using this to talk and just get myself to calm down. Calm down. I can't talk right now. It's hard when you experience a loss. Because you can't change anything at that point. You do realize there's stuff that you missed out on. You do realize that there's things you'll never get to, just never experience. I don't know. At this point, I'm lost for words for how to describe grief. And it's good grief, Charlie Brown. Good grief. If I don't rely on my coping skills, then I'm no good. I spiral out of control. I isolate. I don't want to do anything. That's not a good place to be. The one place that I do find the greatest joy in is just, I don't know why I keep expressing this, but the greatest joy I find is my work. It's, sharing the tools and it sounds like a weird type of like a cultish thing. We're bringing you in. Come on, we're gonna show you what it's like. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at that it improves. It improves because the loss, it's not what I thought it was gonna be like in my head. I'm gonna miss them. And there's nothing I can do to change it. Life takes place. That's the other side of the ticket. At least that's what they say. It's the other side of the ticket of life is death. I don't know if I'll ever be okay and accept that thought process, or whatever you want to call it. I don't understand how people say they do. I don't get that. I don't know if I don't. It's just, it's me personally. It's not a judgment. It's just, I wish I had that type of mindset. Life happens. I see this in people in their faiths that are strong in it. I see that death doesn't scare them. I wish I had that, and I work towards that. But I'm human, and being human sucks. Because you, and one thing I do have to buy into is we are all connected because of the human suffering that we all endure. This is where another coping skill comes in. Support. I have to implore my support system, and that can look any way that you want. My support systems are my therapist, Shirelli. The dog, my dog is part of the therapy team. and family, friends, you know, I find support to talk about it. Because if I don't talk about it, I'll go crazy. I'll be honest with you, I would not be where I am today. I didn't have the tools that I needed, and the thoughts that I have that are creeping up now are what I have to work towards identifying that they are from the past. I have new ways of dealing with this, but I'm still gonna be honest with you, it's fucking hard. It is hard. It's weird because here's another aspect of the PTSD that is hard to deal with. You anticipate the worst thing coming at you. You just do. You anticipate it. And you set that standard really high too, because you know how much it's gonna hurt. And it also goes into my attachment styles and also my abandonment issues, and it's a whole cluster of, you know, great stuff that I'm working on. And this is just me being honest and how the process works. I wanted to be honest because I wanted to pull down the curtains of humanity. This is suffering. This is what people do. And people also support. If you see that person struggling, you don't have to ask, you know, can I help or anything. Just be present. If you see it, I get that a lot, you know. Are you okay? Are you, and it's, you know, what brings comfort the most is just presence and that joy that the other person brings to the table. It helps. It helps pull you out. Like, it's still sad and hard, but it helps you, it pulls you a little bit up and gives you that hope. And be that person's hope. That things will get better because they always do. It's just fact. Things get better. I have to put my tools to work. Realistic expectations. And this one's the trippiest one for me, is I look back at when Missy passed away and how I felt and how I acted and reacted and behaved and everything associated with it and how it's changed me. I can honestly look back and say that I've grown and that she always has and still is, with her loss and even her life, her death, everything's teaching me something. God's teaching me something through this. And it's where you have to rely deeply on your faith, whatever that may be. Because that faith is what gets you through the hard times when words cannot penetrate the hurt. Because, like I said, there's nothing anybody can say to you that will bring you comfort. There's no words. All I said is be present for that person. And psychologically, that's where we look at it and say your faith has to get you through. That's where your faith as a person comes in and supports you, mind, body, spirit, and soul. It's all connected. So I sit here recording this as a time capsule to hear it played back like I did with Missy, so that I have a mark that I can go by. How was I feeling right now and at that moment? And how do I get through? How do you get through everything? And that's where I'm gonna be honest again. It's hard. It is hard, but it gets better. And unfortunately, as we build strong, healthy relationships that bonds and love and everything with people, you know, we love people. We love each other. We need that connection with everybody. Again, because we're all connected through human suffering. And it's a way that in which you can use as a coping skill, journal. This is my way of journaling to a degree, but also sharing and connecting with others that are suffering in the same grief that I'm going through. And you know, coping skills are the best when you put them to work. It's great. And that's where all I can say is find some great coping skills. If it's a struggle still, if the coping skills that you're finding online are not helpful, talking, it helps. And I'm just saying that. It's me personally, it's how I feel, it helps me. And it's still scary to do it like this, to talk openly about it, because it's hard, and it's the way I'm going to mark this occasion. So when I do decide to release this episode, it will be the appropriate time, is all I can say.
It has been a very tumultuous time, and I know that we all struggle with loss one way or another, and so I hope that Anthony or my stories have helped you. Thank you for joining us. I'm Crystal Davis. Please, if you have liked the show, hit that like and subscribe button. Be sure to catch up on all of our previous podcast episodes on Apple Podcast, Google Play, Spotify, and all of your other major podcast carriers. We offer live podcasts on our YouTube channel. All of the links will be in the description box.
Spread Hope Like Fire is a production of the Spread Hope Like Fire Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit. As always, I like to remind everybody, the things that we discuss upon the podcast are not a substitute or a replacement for seeking treatment and getting professional help. If in fact you are struggling with your mental health, we urge you to please reach out to your community and see which professionals are accepting new clients and get that professional help and talking to that professional that you need. This show is intended as a educational and informational psychoeducation of the field of psychology. For Spread Hope Like Fire and Anthony G, I'm Anthony G, and we will see you later.